Prague last week hosted the 16th International Oral History Conference. And among the dozens of seminars, workshops, and presentations, there was one about an ongoing project to interview cinema-goers and movie-house workers in the country's second city, Brno. The idea is to produce a picture of the cinema experience in the city over the last four decades. In this week's panorama, we look at some of the results so far.
The three-part project is being piloted by a team from Brno's Masaryk University. One part is focused on cinema goers, the other on those who worked at cinemas, and the third focuses on a broader local history of Brno's cinemas. Pavel Skopal of the university's Faculty of Film Studies and Audiovisual Culture explained the goals of the project during the conference.
All the projects are focused on reconstruction of cinema programs and on interviewing cinema goers. So the main point is to know more about everyday experience with cinema and what was the role of cinema going for people from 30s. So as far as we are able to go back in the history to 30s, so we have cinema goers born in early 1920s, talking about their experiences and even remembering some of them, the last silence screenings.
The studies are founded on the bottom-up approach to historical and social research, for which oral history is particularly suited. In short, it seeks to get the view of the general public and ordinary employees of what cinema meant to them. Mr. Skopal, again.
Usually we are used to think about cinema in the terms of movies, in the terms of movies screened and received by audience without the context. But the research clearly shows how the context of screening was very important and have changed the perception of the movies.
Cinemas themselves range from plus picture palaces to flea pits and open-air cinemas. There were also special kinds of cinema which had diversified roles, such as the non-stop cinema opposite the city's main railway station. This, it appears, served as a sort of waiting room and public convenience for travellers. Overall, though, the physical conditions of cinemas, and not just those that particularly served as walk-in toilets, do not appear to have been too appealing.
I'm interested in the sensual conditions of cinema, and so to reveal the main, the most obvious case, it is the smell, the bad smell of cinemas, given by the fact that cinemas had no ventilations in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and the result was the space was full of a reek and not very nice smell. And the effect was that the cinema owners in 30s, 40s, or the film industry, nationalized film industry in 50s, tried to react somehow. And the reaction was in 30s and 40s to open the rear door in the cinema, and it gave an opportunity to, especially to kids, to sneak into the cinema without payment. So it was one of the well-remembered experiences, something what really gave a kind of special atmosphere, special reaction to the cinema space when the guys tried to sneak in.
Some of the cinema goers interviewed recount how a man was paid to go round the cinema spraying a pine scent to make the atmosphere a bit more bearable for those inside. As well as the physical conditions, the project also touches on the broader political context of cinema for audiences during a period when two totalitarian regimes were in control, the Nazis and then the communists. Some of the interviewees remember the Red Army's entry into Brno in 1945 and the free propaganda films that were screened afterwards to both the local population and the new military occupants. But both regimes, it seems, took strict steps to make sure that their message was not disrupted.
Of course, in the 40s, in the era of Second World War, audience was supposed to be silenced and not commenting, mainly not commenting newsreels, German newsreels. And there are still not very well researched, but there are examples of problems people had because of short comments on newsreels.
For both the Nazis and communists, cinema was a priceless propaganda tool at a time when television had still to take over as the main audiovisual medium. Afterwards, cinema, at least the open-air cinemas in Brno, appear to have taken on a different role.
In the 50s, used for a kind of regime presentations, regime festivities, but then in 60s, used for screening the most popular Western European and American movies. And it was a kind of real popular culture, and it was a very specific place where people were allowed screened and commented on the movies.
According to Mr. Skopal, the older generation that used to frequent the open-air cinemas did not take to this free-for-all atmosphere too well and decided to boycott screenings and stay at home. Tracking down former cinema employees for the second prong of the project has been a lot more difficult, with a smaller audience to target and in many cases old lists of names and addresses the only facts to go on. Nonetheless, as university researcher Ludiek Havel recounts, some of those people, for insider witness accounts, have been tracked down.
Nowadays we have already done 13 interviews. Most of them projectionists. I think there were two usherettes and also one cashier and one director or ex-director of a film company in Brno. Our goal is to summon 45 interviews, so we have a lot of work to do.
The picture that has been built up of the projectionist interviewed is of people who are more interested in the technical side and cinema equipment than the films themselves. That, rather than the money, which was pretty much peanuts, was their main inspiration for what was often a part-time job twinned with other employment, such as being an electrician. As well as being a projectionist, they often had to double or even triple up as an odd-job man and cleaner as well. Even though there were some perks to the job, as fellow researcher Lucy Chesalkova points out.
Some projectionists were also big collectors of parts of the film strips, because they cut scenes, usually erotic or kissing scenes from those film strips, and they collected it in the cabins. And they also like to invite friends or lovers into the cabins, and they were such a good in their profession that they were able to be them with them during the projection, because the screening was going on and they just didn't need to control it.
The technical equipment also offered other bonuses for those projectionists with a culinary bent.
Some of them also like to cook in the cabin, because when you are projection, the projector is heating, it's warm, and they try to use it as a machine which can warm up your cook. For example, some of them took their dinners in the pots, and they cooked goulashes and things from home at the projector. Some of them tried to do their eggs on the projector and things like that.
Some projectionists, though, did like to have their own input regarding the films. They sometimes cut or added extra scenes and added their own music scores when they thought that was appropriate.